This Sunday makes it a full 2 months that we have been on an abbreviated schedule for our worship service and gatherings and a lot of other places in our daily life. And I think for the most part we can begin to see, as it were, a light at the end of the tunnel. We just can't tell how far away that light is. And there's been a time or two that I've seen that light, and I wondered if it wasn't kind of like the Roadrunner or Coyote painting the scene on the wall, made it look like there was a light there, but it wasn't going to be there. It just depends on where you read and who you listen to. There's a lot of confusion and chaos, and I don't talk about this just to talk about it, but it is kind of an introductory as to why I want to talk about this idea this morning, because what we're dealing with in this particular situation is a whole lot like a storm. It's getting in the way of everything. It's causing fear and concern. It's causing hurt and harm. And I'll be honest with you, I'm ready for some peace and still. I was reading in Mark, preparing for this lesson again, and thinking about these things again, even this morning. I had this feeling in myself that, man, I feel a whole lot like these apostles may have felt while they were in the middle of that storm there on the Sea of Galilee. It's just chaos in many areas. And I recognize we're a little less affected than some areas are, and I'm grateful for that. But still, things aren't as they used to be. And I'm ready for some peace. I'm ready to get back to normal. We all want peace. Now, when we talk about the idea of peace, there's a number of areas that we could consider. We could talk about world peace, and we're talking there about national tranquility, an absence of war and rage and things of that nature. We're probably not ever going to see that in our day. Nobody before us has seen it for any extended length of time, so I don't expect we're going to see that in our day. We could be talking about peace between individuals. Certainly that's something that all of us would desire, to have harmony and accord with one another. No more disputes, no more racism or geographic problems amongst one another. Everybody be able to get along with one another. Security, safety, prosperity. These things are a result of having peace and harmony and everything being safe and prosperous among us. And to some degree, I recognize we have enjoyed that at some points in our nation's history, at least. Not completely, but to some degree. But I'm convinced that we're not going to see any of those unless we first find peace with God. The peace, as Thayer defines, as the Messiah's peace. The way of salvation that leads to peace. The tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and content with its earthly lot of whatsoever sort that is, the blessed state of devout and upright men after death. Now, we're not going to see that here on earth, because after death we're not on earth anymore, but that's what we're all ultimately seeking, isn't it? But we really want to have some kind of that peace while we're here on earth. In fact, I'll be honest with you, I really want all those kinds of peace. I want world peace. I want peace among men. I want peace in my heart. I want peace in my home. I want peace in business. I want it all. But I can only control a certain part of it. And I'm only going to be able to control that part as well as I control my relationship with God. It depends on God. We all want to have peace. We read in the Galatian letter, chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such thing there is no law, and are not those the things that we seek to have in our life? Paul tells us as he writes to these Galatian brethren that the way to have those things in our life is to be of the Spirit, because it is the fruit of the Spirit that these things are. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3, whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. There we get a little preview of what it takes to have that kind of peace. Peter said, if you want peace, if you want to find peace in your life, then you've got to get rid of all the disruptive elements. When they were there on that sea, what the apostles were seeing were the disruptive elements of that storm, the wind and the waves and the rain and maybe the thunder and the lightning and all of those things that were going on. And when Jesus said, peace be still, he got rid of all those disruptive elements. When I read that passage, I recall back to one of the times, I don't remember which one it was, that we had a hurricane come through down there when we were on the Texas coast. Well, we weren't on the coast, but we were close enough to get a hurricane anyway. Everything, wind blowing all over, trees falling, rain, light, all kinds of stuff going on. And then, a minute or so later, I listen, not a sound. I look out. Calm. Sun was even kind of shining. You know how it shines through the clouds. Peace. Now, I knew that storm was still raging all around us, but all of those distracted elements were gone from me at that time, and I knew peace in the midst of the storm, so to speak. And I think of that when I read this passage about the apostles there on the sea. All that storm going on, and then Jesus said, peace be still. Stopped. And you notice their response? They, instead of thinking about the storm and all that had been going, they began to look and think about Jesus. Who can this man be who even the winds and the waves obey? I hope when you read that story and you look, I hope your translation, whichever it may be that you read from, puts the exclamation points in there, because those words are commanding words. Peace, be still. And that's what the apostles heard and saw. And it put them in awe of the Lord even more, and it focused their attention on Him instead of on all of the distractions that were going around, because Jesus came into the world to bring us peace, not just to still the storm on the Sea of Galilee, but to bring peace into our lives. The Apostle Paul in the Ephesian letter, chapter 2, for he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. And I understand the spiritual nature of what Paul is talking about here, but understand the physical things that he's saying as well. Jesus came to break down the barriers between the peoples. Yes, the barrier that he broke down was the wall of separation that God had given through the law of Moses. But Jesus came to tear that down so there is no longer anything between the nations, anything between the peoples. Jesus came to bring peace to mankind. We can enjoy world peace, peace among humanity, through Jesus, if everybody would apply the teachings of Jesus. Because he came to to make all one, to remove the enmity. He is, as we read in Acts chapter 10 and verse 36, the good news of peace that Peter and the apostles preached through Jesus Christ. He is the good news of peace. When Paul writes to the Ephesian brethren about the armor they're to put on, they are to have their feet shod with readiness with the gospel of peace. Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble, we read in Psalm 119, verse 165. And while we understand, for the most part, we need to notice the spiritual nature of those statements. If we apply those spiritual principles, we will bear the fruit of the Spirit, which is peace. If we want to find peace with our fellow man, we're only going to find it through Christ. He's the only remedy. If we want peace, we're going to have to work for it. Now, I fully understand and recognize, as we've already acknowledged in looking at some of these passages, what we're looking for is peace in our spirits. This fruit of the Spirit that is peace is not just peace among mankind. That's an end result of having this kind of peace. It's not world peace. It's not even necessarily peace in our homes. It will lead to that. But what we're talking about there is peace with God. Peace that comes because we have our sins forgiven. Go back and look again. That peace that was preached was the peace that brought salvation, bringing mankind into one in Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ gives us peace with God, and that is the peace that matters. In fact, if we are not reconciled with God, if we don't have peace with God through the salvation of our souls by being obedient to the Word, we will not know peace in our homes, among our friends, and the world. We first must have peace with God to enjoy peace in any other aspect of life. In Him, the Colossian letter tells us, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. Or, as we read in the Roman letter, chapter 5, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Later in chapter 15 and verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. We need to have peace with God that comes only through obedience. Only through our faith and trust in Jesus as the Savior, who will make intercession for us before the Father so that we might be free from our sins. Jesus, the one who died and shed His blood on the cross of Calvary so that I didn't have to die for my sins, so that I could live. That's where we find peace, because peace is rooted in our relationship with God. It's a product of being right with God, and it is in our own hearts. You ever, most all of us at some time or another, have worked out in the public in some way or another, either a school teacher or working in the factory or working in the shop or wherever it may have been, and things weren't going well at work. Everything went wrong. Every tool you needed fell right through your fingers to the bottom. Some of them bounce where you couldn't find them. Every time you grabbed something with a wrench and you went to do it, it slipped and you got scars on your knuckles. The boss was always standing there watching every time you did something, making you nervous, and it would jump. Yeah, we've all had days like that at work, a time or two, haven't we? When you came home, wasn't it harder to have peace and tranquility at home because you had all of that in the background of your day? If you did have peace and you were able to just settle back and everything go well and relax when you got home, it was because you made great effort to remove all of those things from you, to get all of those distractions out of the way on your way home. Because when we have things that are bothering us, we have things that are on our mind, it makes it harder for us to get along with other people, even our family that we love. If our nerves are already on edge, if we're already at the brink of an outburst, it won't take much for it to come on out. Our peace depends upon our relationship with God. If we don't have a right relationship with God, we are constantly going to have things that are getting in our way, disturbing us. Paul told the Philippian brethren, "Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." We turn to this often when we talk about the need to not be anxious, not be worried and overly concerned about the things going on in this life. Do you understand what Paul is telling the Philippian brethren here? If you want to have peace, you need to first take all the distractions, all the difficulties, all the things that are getting in your way, and give them to God. You can't do that if you don't have a relationship with God. That's part of the purpose of prayer, so we can go to God and say, "Lord, these things have been wearing on me. These things are beginning to get in my way. Will you please help me deal with them?" And we can find, if we have a relationship with God, we can find a way to let those things be released. Not just the bothersome things of the day, but the sin that would continually wear us down, keep us distracted. That's exactly what the apostles did when they were out there on the Sea of Galilee. Maybe they didn't consciously do that, but they put their troubles on the Lord. They said, "Jesus, do something about this." And he did. And they had peace. Paul said, if we want to get along with other people, if we want to let our reasonableness be known to everyone, we need to learn how to cast our cares and anxieties on the Lord. And that only comes when we have a right relationship with God. And that will be manifest in our actions. Now, one of the things that folks will tell you if you want to have tranquility is make sure you understand your place in things. One of the problems that we have sometimes in getting along with other people is I'm more concerned about me than I am about you. We ought rather to be, you've heard this word before, humble. That means less of me and more of you. Humble, humility, serving. What can I do to make this situation better instead of making it worse? How can I prevent conflict? These are fruits of peace, or fruits of the Spirit that demonstrate the peace we have with God, maybe is a better way to say that. It's going to be evident in how we interact with others. If we can be at peace because we have a right and proper relationship with God, and we've cast our cares and our sins upon Him, we've sought forgiveness, we've done what's necessary to be right in His sight so that we're pleasing to Him, and we know that He's pleasing with us, it makes it that much easier to let the things going on in this world just slide on past. Not that I am anywhere near even an apprentice in this area, but one of the places I have seen this in my own life is in my reaction to things that I read online. Maybe it was because I had been studying and thinking about this particular lesson and some of the points and such. But I saw somebody post up some stuff and it had some old data in it, and I may mention we ought to pay attention to new data. And then they came right back at me with, "You don't get the point," although I told them I got the point. And I was all ready. In fact, I started typing it. Wait a minute. This ain't going to do anything but just get worse. It's just going to escalate. When we're at peace with God, we learn that we can let some things go because they don't matter. It doesn't matter whether they get my point about that or not. For the most part, in those kinds of discussions, they're going to keep believing the way they always did. I mean, me and David can discuss back and forth all the time about how great trombones are and how lesser trumpets are. But I'm not going to change his mind. I'm not. Bill and I can discuss about whether it's right to plant my tomatoes just whenever I feel like it, or do I need to go make sure where the moon is and how long it's been there and what the Farmer's Almanac says about that. We can discuss that back and forth. We can get mad and upset with one another. But you know what's going to happen when it comes time to plant tomatoes? Bill's going to go check his stuff and do them by the way he thinks is right. And I'm going to be haphazard and just do however it feels good to me. We're not going to... Well, those are little things. Well, what if you apply that same principle to the bigger things? Once we're right with God, we've got that taken care of, we see how petty so many of the other things we get focused on in this life really are. You see, finding peace in our life, I guess I should add, after that online, I started just scrolling past what a lot of those folks said. There's no sense in even reading this because it's not going to bring peace. Even if I don't respond, if I keep reading all this stuff, it's going to get in my way. And it's not going to keep me out of heaven, whether I read it or not. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Finally, brothers, rejoice. Aim for restoration. Comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. That's the Apostle Paul writing in 2 Corinthians. We've been studying in 1 Corinthians on Wednesday night, and we've been talking about the division that was in that congregation there. Among the Christians, they were divided about who they were following. As we've been looking in chapter 3, Paul said, "Quit following me and follow Christ," basically. Here he says, get back and focus on God. Be at peace with one another. Agree with one another in the Lord. As Paul told the Roman brethren in Romans chapter 12, this has become one of my more favorite passages. from Romans 12, verse 16 through 18, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. You do understand that that last sentence is the same thing he said in the first sentence. Live in harmony with one another. How do we do that? Well, we do everything possible to be at peace with one another. How do we do that? We think less of self and more of others. We're not haughty, but we associate with the low. We don't think ourselves better than anybody. We don't think our ideas are better than anybody else's ideas because we recognize and understand only God's ideas are higher than the ideas of men. No matter how great and wonderful my new discovery may be, no matter how much scientific backing I might have, there may be somebody that comes along behind me and says, you missed that over there, and therefore what you say is going to happen isn't going to happen. If you've ever gone reading about some perpetual motion machine, that's usually what ends up happening. Some guy thinks he's found it, he's got it. We can have free energy till the guy comes along and proves that what he says he's going to do won't work. We need to be careful about our attitude of our own opinion and understand it doesn't mean that we can't learn things and we can't teach other things, but let's remember, we're all frail humans and all have sinned in the sight of God. None of us are God. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. We need to leave place for God to exercise His vengeance on those who are wicked. It's not do back to them what they did to me. It's treat them the way I want to be treated. By the way, that's what Paul says about husbands toward their wives, too. Treat your wife the way you want. No, say, no, I don't. Go over there and read in Ephesians chapter 5. Love your wives as you love your own selves. Isn't that the same thing as treat others the way you want to be treated? And it's the other way around, too. Don't get excited. Wives have responsibility toward their husbands. As much as you possibly can, as far as it depends on you, you do your part to be at peace with others. One of the things that means for me is I pull my fingers away from the keyboard. Put them over there on the mouse and scroll on down the page. Let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Didn't we say we're supposed to want peace? That's what Paul says there in Romans 14. Seek after the things that make peace. I'm not going to say if I'd known this. I'd heard this. I'd read this. I'd been told this. My parents told me this over and over again. But if I had lived by this, when I was trying to get along with my sister, I probably would have been a whole lot better off. Seek for things that make for peace and mutual upbuilding. Not tearing down. Strive for peace with everyone, the Hebrew writer tells us, and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. It's interesting to me that the Hebrew writer tells us to strive for peace and then strive for holiness. While it is certainly true that we must be right with God in order for us to enjoy and have peace in our life, it's also true if we're not seeking peace with others, we're not going to appear to them to be set apart from the rest of the world. If we're just like everybody else trying to get our way no matter what, we're no different than everybody else in the world. Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness which will bring us into the presence of the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, Paul says, I therefore, prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. All of those things are required in order for us to have peace. Humility, gentleness, patience, forbearance, seeking to maintain unity. Peace comes from God through Christ. And when we have peace with God because we maintain a right relationship with Him based on His Word, then we can find peace with others in this life. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Romans 8 and verse 6. Peace is never to be found in human wisdom, philosophy, psychology, sociology, meteorology, I don't care what you're studying. It doesn't matter what ology it is. If it's the wisdom of men, it's not going to bring true peace. It's revealed in God's Word. And that's the last place most people think about looking. A right relationship with God can give us peace in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls, in our daily life, when nothing else will. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus said. No one comes to the Father except for me, through me. Later in that chapter 14 of the book of John, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. I'm convinced that the reason that so many people in this world have lives that are not peaceful is because they don't know God. And while they may not always be fully conscious of it, their minds are struggling with the fact that they are involved in things that they ought not to be, and they don't know what to do to take care of them. And so they are constantly beset by storms and aren't calling on the right person to tell them to be still. Only Christ, God through Christ, can do that. Jesus gives us peace. Without the truth of God and fulfilling our responsibilities to Him, we're going to be fearful. No matter what kind of things we may tell ourselves, we're going to be worried and concerned. If the only thing we're focused on, and this gets back to some of what we studied in our Bible class lessons recently, if the only thing we focused on is this life, we're going to have fear. Because despite the desires of mankind, we know for certain that this life will end. But if we know God, and we are right with Him, we recognize that though this physical life comes to an end, we as an individual, me, who I am, in this physical body, will live beyond. My soul will not see death if I have a right relationship with God. And just that knowledge alone calms so many fears. Jesus said in John 16, verse 33 to his apostles, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Interesting that part of the things that he had said to them that was supposed to give them such peace is that he was fixing to have to leave. He was going to be tried. He was going to be crucified, and they would be left alone. Except he was sending the Spirit to comfort and strengthen them, and that through those things, they could be with him again. See, this is in chapter 16. Earlier chapters is where he said, I go to my Father to make a place for you. Through Christ, they would have peace. True peace and rest is found in Christ. Right up in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, with a storm raging around, when the apostles turned to Jesus, they found peace. The same can be true for us today. If we look at our lives today and find, I really wish I had some peace, we need to know where to turn. There's always going to be something happening in this life. There will never be a time, as long as we are walking upon the face of this earth, where there will not be something happening. Anybody that has raised children, anybody that has been in any kind of relationship whatsoever, has experienced that point where they look and they think, everything looks just right. It's going well. And then they look again. Or something happens. I mean, a lot of us have even been walking along doing just fine and all of a sudden we stumble and fall down. Because we didn't see the stump in the way, or the root that was sticking out, or the crack in the sidewalk. There's always going to be something popping up, as long as we're focused on this issue. But if we can get our focus on heaven, if we can get back to dwelling on the things of God, considering and thinking about those things, put our focus on Him, we can find peace even in the midst of turmoil in this life. Then you have that kind of peace. It's only found in Jesus. If you look this morning and find things in your life that are amiss, that are causing you difficulty, maybe your life is full of sorrows, turn to the Lord. Cast your cares on Him, for He cares for you. All you weary and heavy laden, come unto me and find rest. Take my yoke upon you. Take the burden of serving Christ and let Him take your burden off your shoulders. Even as Christians, we sometimes find ourselves weighed down with the difficulties and struggles of life. And we need to look to the Lord. If you find a sin in your life corrected, pray to God and ask Him to forgive. If it's something that needs to be corrected, publicly do so. If it's something that you need the brethren to pray with you and for you, that's part of why we have a fellowship such as we do here. We recognize a need to come to the Lord, and we can assist. Time and opportunity is yours. Come, Lord, stand and sit.